Blog Talk Radio.
Codex. Sleeping giants, unchained lions, unlocked cages, men and women, neutralized in stasis, vaccinated, fear mandated, punished, hated, secret contract, undebated, perpetual part-time jobs, slaves created, wake up workers, change the game, full-time jobs for all, two-person crews, respect and safety for you know who. Take control of your union, make the sellout's head spin, show the world how a real union wins, organize now with her and him. Action, 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 wake up you sleeping giants, be defiant, non-compliant, take what you deserve, no more silence. No more silence. No more silence.
Got this working. Kind of rough there. I hope to tune the track down a little bit, but so be it. Five lines I want you to call. I want you to fill them up. This is Brother Eric with the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition. I'm also a local 308 Union steward,
ATU
delegate,
troublemaker.
515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. Just call. Go over a couple quick things and then we'll take your calls. I see some people getting in line here. We got a new mayor. That's right. And to the chagrin of local 308 Secretary Treasurer Deborah Get Cozy with the Boss Lane and local 241 President Boss Keith Hill, it wasn't Paul Vallis. It was Brandon Johnson. Brandon. BJ. Mayor BJ. He's going to defund the police. We're all going to die. Fear not, he will do no such thing. He's just the manager of a business, a city. It is run on the fuel of corruption and avarice. No matter what he says he's going to do, nothing will change unless we stand up and speak up and take what belongs to us. We, the people here in Chicago, the workers, the PTA workers, the railroad workers, the UPS delivery people, the writers, the clerks, the nurses, the taxi people, the Uber drivers, the chefs, the cooks, the bus drivers, the students, unless we stand up and do what needs to be done, like what you see in France. They're just going to keep taking, and you'll just keep electing and voting and hoping. Yeah, But we got to give them a chance, they say.
Oh, sure.
But meanwhile, what are you doing? At work? At school? Fellow CTA workers, what are you doing? You're just going to sit around and wait to see what BJ is going to do? Are you going to make it clear to the mayor that you're not going to tolerate being the toilet of a city, of a society that punishes the poor, sucks the blood of the weak, and pits us all against each other based on differences in language, culture, religion? I want to tell you a little something that happened in Minnesota recently. They're not gonna tell you this in the news. They're not going to tell you what people just like you are doing to get what they deserve. Listen to this. For the first time in their history, 3,000 grocery workers in the local chain Cub Foods across the Twin Cities, that's St. Paul and Minneapolis, were set to strike. They were going to shut down 33 stores during the busy Easter weekend. Hours before the strike was to begin, the company offered a settlement that gave the workers much of what they wanted and none of the concessions it had been demanding. Workers will get raises between $2.50 and $3.50 an hour. And hundreds will receive even more raises as they get reclassified into higher-paying job titles. A company-wide safety committee will be established. This contract fight was on hardly anyone's radar. It had been more than 30 years since the UFCW Local 663, which represents 17,000 workers in Minnesota, last struck a grocery store. Back in the 1980s, Twin Cities grocery stores were 100% organized, and members earned good wages, but contracts over the last two decades were negotiated with little fanfare. Union density shrank considerably. Wages did too. No surprise. Today, non-union competitors like Aldi and Hy-Vee are everywhere, and many workers struggle to afford the food that they sell. Sound familiar, CTA workers, especially you part-timers? Of course, the grocery companies are not struggling. Cub Foods, still the top grocery store in the area, is owned by UNFI, a massive food distribution company which has made billions in profits over the last 5 years. These profits come at an expense of the workers who have suffered greatly during the pandemic. Sound familiar, CTA workers? Around the country, hundreds of grocery store workers died of COVID, and every worker remembers the fear and uncertainty that gripped us during peak periods. Some of us died, and a lot of our careers died too, right? At the peak of the Omicron variant, it was common for the entire departments to be out sick, and many workers were forced to time away from loved ones deemed at risk. Sound familiar? Concerns about store safety have intensified too. It was common during the era of mask mandates for workers to be on the receiving end of an anti-maskers wrath, to say nothing of the fear of a shooting or a hate crime. Yet through all of this, Cub workers' contract offered raises of only $2 an hour over 5 years for full-timers at the top of the pay scale. Many part-timers got no raise past their hiring wage of $15.75. I hope you all listening. I'll skip to the end. Labor activists in the Twin Cities scrambled to organize strike support. Local Teamsters and Bakers unions pledged their solidarity. After first trying to find scabs for $20 an hour, UNFI finally relented and called the union Thursday evening with an offer to offer close to what the union bargaining team had officially proposed. At 1 a.m., the union team announced it has accepted the tentative agreement. Unlike previous settlements, this one was presented very democratically. Meetings were held to discuss it, and the full language was released to the membership to read before the April 11th vote. The contract passed by 97%. The whole process was night and day compared to the previous contracts, and members will be ready to fight again when this expires in 2025. The local still has two major grocery contracts that haven't been resolved, and more grocery workers have contracts expiring in the fall and winter, such workers in co-ops and grocery workers in Brainerd. Some healthcare workers have the same. In the same local will negotiate this fall, as will meatpacking workers in Hormel and Austin. While we work in different jobs and industries, we're all among the most exploited, most exposed, and least compensated of the frontline workers. If the momentum and democratic spirit from this contract continue, we can build a true movement of the lowest paid and least respected. You see, brothers and sisters and supporters and curious people, when we lift those who are at the bottom, those who are at the top, those who make the good wages, such as myself, you know, doing craft-type work, maintenance, repairing the rail cars and the CTA. They don't want us to have these jobs. They don't want us making $30, $40, $50 an hour. No, no. We want everyone at $15 or $10 or $2. Clear goal. So while you have a full-time job at the Chicago Transit Authority, and maybe you waited a long time to get it, you are obligated to help those who make less. We have four tiers at the Chicago Transit Authority, four tiers of people doing the same work, similar work, being paid differently. And some have more years than some of the full-time. This is unacceptable. What do you do about it? Well, we're going to vote. We're going to have an election in Local 308 in November. People want to vote new leadership. We're going to vote in hope. Some of y'all want me to be an officer, a union boss. Really? And what do you think is going to happen? You think electing somebody is going to solve your problems? You think just being quiet, minding your business, and casting a vote with hope is going to change anything? Well, if you think so, we've already lost. You got to be active. You got to be out there. You got to be at work, talking with your coworkers, helping each other out. Don't side with the manager and disparaging your coworkers. Don't just wait for a contract and hope the contract is going to work out. I suspect that the Chicago Transit Authority has already written the contract. And whatever games are going to be played, they're going to try to hold it off another couple years, save a million here, a million there. You see, the contract has become an enemy. With the contract, the union officials who enforce it The workers go out of their way to circumvent and ignore the grievance procedure. They really don't want to deal with grievances. It's a pain. They're tired of the union people telling them, oh, he's not going to win, you know. But just grieve it. For what? Way back in the day, there's a story about a company called AC Spark Plug. And these workers had extremely poor working conditions and speed up. Speed up means you're doing more for less. Kind of like these train operators and these bus operators, these maintenance workers at the CTA. Got to do more, more, more with less, less, less. After a few weeks of bearing this and griping amongst themselves, they decided that they had enough. So they all stopped work. The first one over to get back to them was none other than the union official. He was very nervous, and he wanted to know what the trouble was. And he told the workers, get back to work, and maybe I could fix it for you. In a secret meeting with the boss. These workers contemptuously refused to give him their grievance. They didn't tell him what it was about. They treated him like an errand boy and told him, go get the boss. And when he did, the workers negotiated directly with that boss. They didn't fill out a piece of paper and wait and hope and wait and hope. Weeks and months, 15 years maybe for some of these grievances. It's ridiculous. They got their case settled in 15 minutes. You see, that's how a union works. We enforce the contract, but the workers are the contract. And that's the way we need to look at this new boss that we have in City Hall. BJ. Brother BJ. I don't know if I can call you brother now, because now you are boss. Mr. Johnson. Johnson. We got problems at the Chicago Transit Authority. Some of the things you're saying are pretty good. Take a look. Let's see how this would relate to the rampant crime and poverty going on at the CTA. If you want to call the show while we're live, the number is 515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. I'll put you right on. Tell me what you think about what I'm about to share. Get this over here. So the mayor had an inauguration speech, and it was okay. But buried in the website of the city of Chicago is his first executive orders. These are very important to read. I put the links in the description of this show. Executive Order 2023-15, boost youth employment. A lot of whereas and blah, blah, blah. So let's just skip all that. Let's go to his orders. With urgency, the Office of Budget and Management shall prepare an analysis of all resources in the city's fiscal year 2023 budget that are available to fund youth employment and enrichment programs, including any state, county, or federal funds. Identify existing city-funded youth employment and enrichment programs to which such funds may be allocated. This is very important. we need to hold Mayor BJ, our boss at the CTA, accountable for Section 2 of his order. A lot of these young people are getting on our trains and buses and wreaking havoc. Not a lot, some. They're getting into all kinds of trouble because they got nothing to do. And some of them haven't even been back to school since the pandemic hit. So we know where what kind of future they're facing. With urgency, the Deputy Mayor of Education and Health and Human Services shall lead all city departments and agencies in identifying additional entry-level jobs that would be suitable for young people. Okay. The Office of Budget and Management shall examine opportunities for delegate agencies to subcontract with non-delegate agencies subject to the applicable funding restrictions.
Okay.
Section 4, Mayor's Office staff shall coordinate year-round youth employment and enrichment activities among sister agencies and city departments, including collaboration with private and not-for-profit organizations where appropriate. Such coordination shall include summer internships and community service credit opportunities with Chicago Public Schools and college credit opportunities with the City Colleges of Chicago. So we're going to put these young people to work, but what are they going to learn, okay? Chicago Public Libraries has a excellent resource, U Media Lab, lots of classes, but they were cutting it
under Lori
Lightfoot's administration.
I have a child
that was involved in that. It's very disappointing. Because you can work these children, but the children need to learn, too. Okay? They need to learn. They need to explore the things that interest them. Some are into music. Some are into building robots. Some are into something else. Whatever it is, we got to redirect them, because what's going to happen is they're going to be back on our trains and buses wreaking havoc. And my coworkers who are on the front line can't take it anymore. The mayor's office staff shall make annual budget recommendations for existing or new youth employment enrichment programs. So get busy, mayor's office staff, and listen to the toilet of the city of Chicago, the CTA. But we have to clean up after everybody that has nothing. And these young people are going to replace those lost souls who live on our trains and buses if we don't do something about this. So good job, but with action. Let's look at Executive Order 2023-16. The Executive Order on Migrant and Refugee Rights. Whereas. Okay, here we go. You can read all the whereas. I'm not a public relations agency for Mayor Brandon Johnson. You can consult the links in our radio show description for that. He will create a deputy mayor for immigrant, migrant, and refugee rights. Okay? He's making a new office, a new bureaucracy. But he's got to do something about it, because I know some of y'all are upset at these immigrants coming. They're coming to get us and take our jobs, take our houses. I understand. We got parts of our community. We have a place in our community here on the south side that the people who live here were trying to establish for young people, for things to do. And it was proposed that the building that they were working on will be for these people who are fleeing countries that the United States foreign policy has destabilized because they're socialists, evil. So they take away from the poor black folks that live here,
Chicago.
They take away from the poor black folks in Latin America, and they flee coming up here, and then they send them up to Chicago, and now we're upset with each other. So the solution is send them back and deport the savages.
Really? Okay.
So Mayor Brandon Johnson is going to deport them.
No, that's not going to happen.
But he's going to do something, and he has to do something. City mayor of immigrant, migrant, and refugee rights is the something. And that deputy mayor will provide recommendations with urgency for things in the budget. Now, this could be a big nothing.
Okay.
Did you see in the United States of America, the way it is built, you and I are allowed freedom, justice, and equality if we have money and power. And the majority of us have none of that. And they can't wait to exploit these people, these brothers and sisters of ours, from Latin America, Venezuelans and others. So this is an opportunity for us in our communities to embrace them if they come, share with them our struggles, learn about their cultures, learn about their language. They'll learn about us and form an alliance. Because they're here. They're here. And you may say, well, they're just going to get themselves educated and start working and they'll forget about us on the south side, on the west side. Doesn't have to be that way. That can stop with us, you and me. We don't have to repeat history. When you're black in America and you have the ancestors who gave blood and treasure in the transatlantic slave trade, you've inherited the DNA of survivors, but at the same time, drips of their humanity, their identity, their language, their religion, their culture, their God. So if we work on getting a knowledge of self and a knowledge of others, and we find what we have in common with the people that look like us but speak a different language, we can have an advantage. But if we choose to have that mind of the alien is coming to get us and take from us, it's not going to help at all. So you really, and I had no choice but to accept it the way it is, just like those young people who keep getting in trouble and coming on our trains and buses wreaking havoc. We have to work with them. They are what we have. The homeless people who live on our trains, some giving us hell. We got to talk to them like we would want to be talked to. It ain't easy. It's a struggle. take a look at Executive Order 2023-17. I got some calls, and then they dropped off. 515-605-9885. Sorry, I'm talking too much. I'll try to get you next one that calls in. 515-605-9885. Executive Order 2023-17 from Mayor BJ, the boss. Whereas, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Section 1, Section 2. A deputy mayor. We have a lot of deputies here. He's delegating himself a little bit. I can appreciate that. You know, in a union, you got a president, but then you got stewards. You got the officers. But really, the stewards are deputies. That means they have the power of the president to delegate duties, helping the people achieve what they desire. So a deputy mayor for community safety is established in the mayor's office, and this deputy mayor will have the staff necessary. So a little budget thing here. Okay, so hopefully he's not going to use this as a thing to dole out favors to people who donated in his campaign. But if this deputy mayor will be someone qualified in doing it, doing the work. So this deputy mayor of community safety is responsible for coordination and communication between all applicable city departments and officials related to the city's efforts to eradicate the root causes of crime, violence, and harm, and to advance a holistic and comprehensive approach to community safety. These are good buzzwords. All city department heads are directed to undertake whatever efforts are feasible pursuant to their powers and duties, and to direct their employees accordingly. City mayor for community safety, consistent with this order. This is very important to eradicate the root causes of crime, because if we don't do that, no matter how many people we lock up on our trains, in our stations, and our buses, brothers and sisters, they're going to keep coming back. And the Chicago Transit Authority mismanagement and their awesome brilliance, at least on the rail side, gives us 8-car trains all day, every day. Therefore, it is a moving shelter on rails. You don't need 8 cars all day, every day. We're wearing out this equipment. Okay? And if there's space and plenty of place for people to sleep, they're going to do it. It's natural. And when it's time to evacuate the train, it takes 20 minutes. To get everyone off the train so that you can put it in the yard or turn it around, send it the other way. It's ridiculous. And the way the system is set up and with our population, you don't need 8 cars. 4 most of the time. 2 overnight. And you have 2-person crews. And they'll check and be eyes if there's any problems. It's simple and affordable. But the root causes of crime and poverty and violence, which he doesn't really say in here, we know what it is. It's poverty. It's poverty. And with poverty, you have sickness. You have substance abuse and homelessness. And part of community safety is making sure that the people who work in the communities have full-time jobs. Jobs that are good, union-scale jobs, like what we used to have at the CTA. Not these poverty jobs, second chance program, flagman, customer service assistant, part-time bus operator, special part-time bus operator. Give me a break. Very important aspect to eliminating poverty at the CTA, poverty in the city, is to eliminate poverty at the CTA. Because when the CTA workers who live in the communities that the CTA serves, and we ride for free, by the way, as employees, okay, when we have the money we need to invest in ourselves and our community, to get a home and take care of the home and pay taxes on it. It brings up the wealth, clean community. But the CTA, they neglect, the management neglects. They don't even clean the stations. You got the janitors at a bare minimum saying they got a lot, but they're barely able to keep up with attrition. Barely. You got them power washing stations once a year. It should be every day. At least the busy stations on the south side and the west side and downtown. So this deputy mayor is in effect now. Good luck, deputy mayor of community safety. It's a good plan. All right, the last one. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in, 515-605-9885, 515-605-9885. I'll put you right on, I promise. Executive Order 2023-18, Executive Order on Labor Relations.
Ooh, sounds good, doesn't it?
Whereas, blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. I, Brandon Johnson, Mayor of the City of Chicago, do hereby order as follows. A deputy mayor for labor relations is hereby established in the mayor's office, and this deputy mayor will have such staff as are necessary for the effective functioning of this office. Okay, another little job. I want to talk to this deputy mayor. There's a new sheriff in town, huh? Okay. Let's see. The deputy mayor for labor relations is responsible for working with all city agencies and departments to foster, promote, and develop the welfare of the wage earners, job seekers, and retirees of Chicago. Improve working conditions, advance opportunities for profitable employment, and ensure work-related benefits and rights, including working with relevant authorities to help enforce workers' statutory rights. And this deputy mayor will provide recommendations to me with urgency with proposals for inclusion in the city budget. That's the key. So we got these four deputies. There's going to be budget requirements. Those who are against it is going to say, you're going to raise our taxes. Well, let me ask you this. If it means a safer city, I don't know, call in. 515-605-9885. I mean, if what he's saying could work, it'd be worth the investment, don't you think? Maybe reallocate the budget for certain things. Well, you did say he's defunding the police, and we're all going to be dying with blood in the street. So the police already have a substantially large budget. Understandably so, in a city this size, but what's the root of crime, y'all? What are the root causes of crime? What did we just discuss? For yourself, don't just believe me. Poverty. So labor relations. Talk about that. Is this labor relations with sellout union officials? Because if it is, it's failed. Mayor Johnson and Deputy of Labor Relations, will you bargain for full-time jobs for all CTA workers? Will you bargain for two-person crews? Will you, Mayor Johnson, bargain for
and mortar bathrooms for the CTA workers, placing these undignified, unsafe, unsanitary porta potties? If you do not do this, you are full of crap. Myself and others in the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition and union people that care come after you and haunt you with these words. There is no such thing as welfare for the wage earners who are in the part-time classification, the full-time temporary classification, and the second chance classification. Part-time temporary classification at the CTA. There is no welfare for them. Our retirees haven't gotten a raise for decades. I don't know if they've ever gotten a raise. Okay? Yeah, it's going to cost money. But this is what we're about. We're about people, right? A holistic approach. Right? Mayor Johnson, Boss Johnson, you're going to have to make sure you stay connected with the people, my man. Because the bankers and the hedge fund gods, the bond certification agencies will not tolerate pities and the orders that you have set forth. I'm just telling you. So if you really believe in what you have ordered, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, whatever benevolent politician, is not going to help you do it. It's going to take the people. It's going to take the workers. When you talk about advancing opportunities for profitable employment, I'm asking you, profitable for who? It says that in Section 3, Boss Johnson. And it's disturbing to me. You're going to improve working conditions and advance the opportunities for profitable employment? Profitable for who? Because the Chicago Transit Authority would be very happy to advance, continue to advance, and advance more opportunities for profitable employment in the second class program. I'm sorry, the second chance program, the part-time temporary jobs, the full-time temporary jobs. Yeah, that's profitable because you don't have to pay any pension. We at the Chicago Transit Authority have a generous, generous, generous pension that a 401k cannot touch. And we deserve it. And every person who works and gives their life to a company, to an agency, in service to the people, deserves a pension. Dignity. But profitable employment for an employer is not a full-time job with a pension. It costs money. Lots and lots of money. And that's investment. So maybe you might want to issue an update to this executive order, an amendment, a correction, a little bit of a detail. And if you're working with the relevant authorities to help enforce workers' statutory rights, that doesn't sound so good to me either.
Because the Illinois Public Labor Relations Board is corrupt as hell. And they are the authority in labor and our statutory rights at the CTA. I have labor charges against the Chicago Transit Authority for collaborating with my union president to illegally deny my coworkers their Weingarten rights for me to represent them, even if I'm volunteering on my off day. So I don't like these relevant authorities that you mentioned at all. The Illinois Labor Relations Board continues to let the CTA and Local 241 president, Keith Hill, unjustly fire bus workers. It's ridiculous. They do nothing to help us. Nothing. The CTA is constantly violating our rights to organize, our rights to talk to our coworkers, our right to meet with them in non-working areas. The labor really doesn't do anything. They just, it's okay, you know, it's okay, it's okay, it's COVID. It's so, brother, keep saying, brother, you the boss now. Boss BJ. Work on this. Deputy Mayor, work on this. This is not going to work. Oh, we got a caller. Let's see who this is. Get you on here. All right, thanks for calling. Who's speaking?
Brother Eric is there. What's up, man? It's Andre.
Is this
Thompson.
Brother Eric speaking?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's Andre speaking.
One of the organizers for the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition. What's up, my brother?
Man, my brother, this is the original boogeyman. The original boogeyman. The ATU.
Hey, if you say so.
John Costa's and Keith Hill's worst nightmare.
Hey, man, you was talking about that labor relation in Illinois. And how we file charges and they don't, you know, it's like look the other way on a lot of things that we do. I don't know. Maybe we got a vice president of the CTA that works down there. And maybe he down there helping them out some type of way. I don't know. I'm just making a statement about it. I ain't going to say no name, but, you know, if you want to say it, you can. But I'm just saying that may be something in the works for them in favor of the CTA half the time. I'm still waiting on charges to be processed, which was in the works of being processed, and now all of a sudden it's like we waiting on court reporters, and this has been like over a year.
Yeah.
And I'm getting correspondence from the Illinois Labor Relations Board saying we're going to go to court on this date and lawyers and all this. All of a sudden now they're saying we got to wait.
Yeah.
And this is like ridiculous. And this is all about being organizing on the property and getting suspended with the order of Keith Hill, you know? From AK.
Yeah. Keith Hill. Keith Hill called the manager on you.
and had me suspended. And there was no paperwork attached to it. So,
nope.
You know, if I ever get a court date, I'll win it, hands down. But right now, they're not giving me no court date.
No, they can't.
I ain't going to worry about it.
Yeah, they can't because, you know, Keith Hill and Eric Dixon and John Costa, the Amalgamated Transit Union Three Stooges, they are very valuable. Yeah, yep. They are very valuable. You know, they can't let little bus operator and a train mechanic mess up their party.
That's why we need members to get involved. The more, the merrier. The more, the stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what we do, Brother Andre. We just go out and talk to coworkers. We just talk with them. We just organize protests. We're not special. We're not any smarter than them. You know? We just do it. Other people can do it.
Yeah. is not on saying. Why the membership not seeing this? But you know, they being constantly bombarded with fear from CTA management, with union officials. I mean, we went to Brandon Johnson's block party, and we was verbally attacked by the president and physically attacked. He put his hands on us, wrapped his hands around our waist, trying to force us to take a picture, me and Robert. And we refused.
Oh,
he called us all kinds of gay slurs, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know where all this coming from.
Yeah. I mean, this guy.
I'm a straight man.
Right. You know, I mean, this guy, he's always obsessed. He's obsessed with homosexuality and whatnot. It's like, why do you care so much about what people? And then the ATU public has this stupid ATU says, oh, we're LGBTQ friendly. Yet they don't say nothing when this jerk Boss Hill goes around calling people fags and stuff.
Yeah, and I understand Bob Costa.
Man.
I mean John Costa's appearance at Chicago. He didn't even let the membership know. He came in, snuck in, snuck out. Nobody knew. You know, we could have met him and had a big discussion with him as a membership. You know, he didn't want
to
do none of that.
Oh yeah. Oh, he went
that shows that he's on some sly stuff.
He is.
But he went to y'all meeting, but y'all was not informed. Y'all didn't know until y'all showed up, right?
Nah, man, he just showed up with his bodyguards and like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So tell us, brother Andre.
What kind of leader is that?
Brother Andre, let me ask you, is it true that the president of Local 241 is no longer allowing the members to leave the membership meeting from the front door?
Oh, that's another disrespect that we're constantly going through, and I don't understand why would any member go in the front door and leave out the back door? I don't understand it. It's the back door is a place where it's an alley. It's uneven ground.
It's dangerous.
It's unsafe.
Yeah.
It's garbage back there. And
no sidewalk.
After all
no
the struggles
sidewalk.
That black people have made, you know, he gonna make us go out the back door. And this is all about disrespecting the members. And then, you know, the executive board, they can run in and out the front door. You know, I wouldn't go out the back door if I was any member. You know, protest.
Stand up
for yourself. I had to call the police last time to get out the front door. Yes, sir.
So you had to call the police. You had to call the police in order to get safely out of the building because he wouldn't let you out, basically, because he wanted you to go to a dangerous house. Now, John Costa, president, international president, King Costa, he came to 241 office. Do you think that they made him leave out the alley?
Which is
why?
This is like the mental illness of Keith Hill. This is what's going on with his brother. He feel like he going to make dues-paying members, especially somebody like me. I've been working for CTA since 1988, full-time over 30 years. Why in the hell would this young punk try to force me to go out the back door when I don't want to? I signed in the front. The building belongs to the members. The money belongs to the members. Everything in there, it belongs to the members. We pay a salary, but this is all about this total sickness, disrespect to members that disagree with them. That's all it is.
And
the Hill administration are a bunch of crooks, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2-3-3-0-8 too, because we have motions. We had a motion to share the audit reports, and it was seconded, and Dixon
and
refused to let it go to a vote. Yeah, they won't share it. They keep
what,
that Deborah Lane keeps putting
out
the audit report
from the membership. What are they hiding from the membership? What are they hiding of the members' money from their own members' funds? You know why they won't let the members see the finances?
That's right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Man. And then we had a motion that was seconded. For a strike authorization vote
committee. Yeah. This shows you how much of a coward they are. They won't even let the members put a committee together to discuss the possibility of putting together some type of strike or a committee to just discuss it. They don't even want you to date, and they're violating your rights on that one too. You know, how are you going to turn down
there,
the member's motion to have
there.
A committee? Well, that's demonstrating that he's on board with the BS too.
Yeah. He was there. He said nothing. And there were charges, brother. Charges. Section 22 charges against Dixon, against Hearst. He refused to read them, and that John Costa just sat there all silent.
It demonstrates that they're all together. And,
yeah.
You know, they're all together against the membership. It's just that simple. But they don't mind taking the membership's money at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. They love money, don't they? Love money and photo ops.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is what the membership need to realize, and we need to say to ourselves, what are we gonna do about it? You know, we gotta stop reelecting these kind of officers. We need get involved. We need to educate ourselves with the Constitution and the local bylaws. We need to attend our union meetings. We need to organize and protest against anything that we feel that's not right for our contract or not right with us, working conditions, anything. And we got that right off the clock.
And, you know, it's so important for the members who can run for delegate to do it, you know, because that's the way we can overthrow King Costa and his regime easily is through elections at the delegate level at the convention.
And communicate with other delegates when we get there and discuss how other locals are being treated like ourselves, Local 308 and Local 241. Just terrible.
Absolutely. So we got 30 seconds left.
I'm going to let you get back to your show. Do your thing. I'll talk to you next time you have your show. Have a good day.
All right, brother. We have a good one, brother. All right. Well, that's Brother Andre there. We are always so glad when he's on. That's it for this show. You know, we try to keep this going for you. You know it's a volunteer effort. But if more of y'all want to step up, you want to host a show here, we'll hook you up. Thanks a lot for listening. Hope you learned something. Hope you were inspired. Peace.
These members always complaining and whining, never happy. Oh, look at this. Another post from him. Think I might lose his grievance. I don't know, this other one might try to run against me. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Yeah. That's the way it's gonna be. I am your union boss, benevolent iron fist. Fear my sensitive feelings, don't get me pissed. PPP loaner picnic, guess which one is it? Everything in a union office is a secret. Shut your mouth, I demand respect. Obey me or get your asses kicked. Naughty member, you never seem to stop. I will call the cops. Post another criticism on Facebook, and your every move I will tell the manager to watch. Sign the contract, you lazy slobs. Shut up and be happy y'all have a job. Hug the mayor. Love your boss. Distrust your co-workers and just grieve the loss. Six-digit salaries for me. Super special fees and dues just for you. I am your union boss. Obey me.